And finally tonight, what we talk about and don't talk about when it comes to race and identity is the subject again at the fore after the death of Trayvon Martin and the trial of George Zimmerman. And it's the subject of the Race Card Project, an effort by NPR journalist and author Michelle Norris to engage people in a conversation about, as her website says, their experiences, questions, hopes, dreams, laments, or observations about race and identity. And Michelle Norris joins us now. Welcome to you.
Good to be with you.
First, explain to us a little bit about what the race card is, how it works, and what you're after.
They're very short stories, mm-hmm. six-word stories.
Six words, that is short.
That right? is short. And the idea was to get people to open up on a difficult subject by not asking very much of them. Mm-hmm. So I asked people to share, as you said, their thoughts, observations, anthems, laments, whatever, mm-hmm. in one sentence that has only six words. And the idea was to create a platform, a place, where people could say perhaps difficult things, but more importantly, where they could go to the website or use the exercise to listen to other people, to mm-hmm. find out what other people are saying and thinking.
And something about that compactness works, huh? Just the six words. You can't go on and on.
Well, you know, what happens mm-hmm. is in the beginning, people would send in six words and they were often anonymous. Mm-hmm. Then they would send in six words and add their name and maybe their location. Mm-hmm. Over time, the six words is like opening up a spigot mm-hmm. because people send in six words and then they keep going.
And
they're accompanied
story,
by essays and yeah, additional comments.
A story and a conversation. So generally speaking, what have you seen happening since the death of Trayvon Martin and through to today?
Well, it's been a running thread through the Race Card Project, and there are flashpoints. Mm-hmm. So when it became, even before it became a national story, the submissions started to trickle in. When it became a national story, big spike in submissions. Mm-hmm. When George Zimmerman was arrested, big spike in submissions. And then throughout the trial and, of course, with the verdict, big spike in submissions. And you see all kinds of things. You see mothers who watched this trial and felt for their own children. They somehow felt that Trayvon Martin's experience touched their home and they feared for their children. You saw people who would watch the trial and maybe they didn't condone what George Zimmerman did, but they understood his impulses. Mm-hmm. When they see people of color on the street, particularly in their neighborhood, if they feel that they don't belong, that they talk openly and honestly about the fear that they feel. And a lot of people talked about the things that they wrestle with, mm-hmm. that they're uncomfortable with. The idea that people fear them, the idea that they make assumptions about other people based on their skin color or what they happen to be wearing.
It was interesting because, of course, at the trial itself, there was a lot of emphasis on not seeing this through the lens of race. But clearly, many people do in America, and that's what you're seeing on your site.
Well, that was interesting because the lawyers, particularly the prosecutor, tried to say that this is not about race, actually said that in the courtroom.
Right.
And then we've heard from one of the jurors who said, this is not about race. And as I look at the, you know, thousands of submissions that have poured in, clearly people who were watching this mm-hmm. in their own homes and communities were seeing mm-hmm. racial elements in this. And so there is this thing that sometimes people think that just because you don't talk overtly about race that it's not there. But nonetheless, it does appear to be, you know, in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. So give us a few examples of the kind of thing you've been hearing.
Urban living has made me racist.
Urban living has made me racist.
This is from someone who moved to the city, mm-hmm. and she lives in a multi-ethnic community, and she says that some of the attitudes that she's developed over time living in that community, mm-hmm. that community have hardened mm-hmm. based on what she sees, and that makes her uncomfortable. She's sort of buying into the trope of the hardworking Asian mm-hmm. or the industrious Hispanic and, unfortunately, the scary black person.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked really honestly about that, not just in those six words, but in an essay that came along with that. Stop seeing my son as a predator. I pray for my son every day. Came from a woman in Canton, Ohio. She mm-hmm. has three children, two daughters and a son. Mm-hmm. She worries most about her son. And when he comes home to visit, he's an adult now, when he comes home and to visit in their multi-ethnic neighborhood and he wants to go out for a run, she tells him, please don't run in your own neighborhood. Go someplace else. I'm going to park or where it's well-lit, because she's afraid that if he runs in the neighborhood wearing athletic gear, that people will see him and maybe see the same thing mm-hmm. that George Zimmerman saw in Trayvon.
I was taking a look, and fear, of course, is one of the themes that's running.
It runs
yeah.
throughout this, yeah, yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. And people being almost upset by their fear, too, right? I mean, it all comes out in various ways.
Upset by the fear that they, you know, I was just reading one that came from Ian Sear. He lives not far from here in Springfield, mm-hmm. Virginia, and he talked about how he's part of the Benetton generation, the generation that's supposed to be post-racial. Mm-hmm. Remember that word?
Yes.
That that they grew up without all the burdens that previous generations have, and yet he talked about how he really hates this implicit fear that mm-hmm. he has. So people wrestling with this, but on the other hand, black folks, black men in particular, mm-hmm. writing about what it feels like to step onto an elevator and have to say hello really loudly to everyone so that they understand that they're not a threat.
You also had, though, some people thinking that we put too much emphasis on race.
Yes. We've gotten a lot about that. Mm-hmm. One person in particular saying, stop exploiting to promote own agenda. Mm. And the idea there is, this is from someone who said that we talk too much about race. The mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin case, the George Zimmerman case, was mm-hmm. just another example for the liberal media, that was the word that he used, to drive up ratings.
Let me just ask you briefly in our last 30 seconds or so here, coming back to the project itself, have you seen what's your sense of the comfort level of people talking about these things?
Well, people are comfortable talking at least in six-word
snippets. In 6 words.
But this is what I really take heart from. A large percentage of the submissions come in the form of a question. People are asking. They're thinking out loud. And that says something hopeful about the need for dialogue.
All right. The project is The Race Card. Michelle Norris of NPR, thanks so much.
Thank you.